Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
I'm really humbled to just to be able to share a few lessons that I have learned throughout the journey. And I'm also aware that it's not about us. We are not the character of the story. The one who paid the price on Calvary, he's the one that should take all the glory. I'm not used to carry notes, but I just wanted to be available to the Lord to use me again this morning. And my team in Cairo, who are watching us actually this morning over the Facebook, praise God for the Facebook. they have been in prayer throughout the few last weeks that the Lord Jesus will be glorified in these moments. And I agree that to our former presidents, to God be the glory for your input and your investment in this great institution. And for the creativity that we saw as we entered CIU 2 days ago. Thank you, Dr. Smith. Thank you, Deb. I would say thank you for all the instructors who are laboring in hard here to really invest in the lives of the former students, invested in them, but also you are continuing to invest in the lives of the upcoming generation that will probably soon will go to the front lines. I would mention that my family, my wife Vicky is my hero. She carries the burden with me, day in and day out. And our son John, who is serving the Lord now in Dubai, in Redeemer International Church, as the worship leader there. He just produced his first music CD, and Joanna, who is with us, she's also a vocalist and works at One Way Ministries out of Naperville, Illinois. The ministry that I was honored to lead and to continue to lead is an indigenous organization called Streams of Living Water that mobilizes, trains, and sends out young Christians, young Arab Christians, young indigenous Sudanese, young indigenous Yemenis, and beyond. And we conduct large mission conferences where the Lord is really showing himself alive. I would say that to be concise and precise, I would focus on three words this morning. One is pray. Secondly, witness, and witness boldly. Three, persevere, persevere. If we can't experience the full dependency on God in our easy life here, how can we practice it when we go out to share the gospel among the unreached in tough places? One of the best ways to disciple others is when you share with them your life of dependence on the living God. I remember as a child, a minister used to come to my town. And every time he drove his car, before he turned on the car, he asked everybody in the car to pray. So that was when I was taking video clips that time as a young boy. And I thought, this is really different. It seems that prayer is like breathing, and we can't really live without it. Disciples, the disciples of Jesus, when they saw him, Luke 11, verse 1 and 2, we all remember that. When they saw him praying, it seems that they became thirsty and hungry for such a lifestyle that he lived, with a sweet fellowship with the Father. And they said to him, "Give us of what you have. Teach us to pray. We need to be linked up with this Father that you have." And he did. Friends, I think as I studied here at CIU, I took advantage of the prayer tower. It comforted my heart this morning when I saw two of my prayer partners, Henry Clay and Tim Jackson. And we used to go every Saturday as much as we could. And fasting and prayer played really a major role. Once in Sudan, in a gospel campaign, we went to the open air, and to our surprise, the whole ground was covered with scorpions, and what they call it also, wind scorpions. And both of them are fierce creatures. And what to do when you expect that night 600 adults and 300 children who came later? And then what we just went to the side to a broken hut and lifted up our hearts to the Lord and said, "Lord, clear it, please." And finished our time of prayer. And guess what? He did it, as he usually answers prayers, in his own wise way. Nobody was harmed that night. Everybody listened to the gospel, and many precious souls got saved. So prayer. You know why I shared this analogy about the scorpions? It reminds me that we are not in a playground. We are in a battleground. Whether you realize it now or you will see it later, we are in a battleground. Do you have a prayer partner? I encourage you, if you don't, please pray for someone, or probably many, to join you. A challenge, though, during the CIU time, was to be deceived by the fact that I was in a Bible-based institution, studying the Bible all the day long, but trapped by dismissing my own devotional life. Paul, speaking about spiritual warfare, seems interesting that he spent more time in focusing on prayer, on that particular piece, than the other pieces. Three verses he designated to prayer. In Ephesians 6, he began by saying, praying at all times. In our conferences in Egypt, we have a voluntary prayer time at 4:30 in the morning, every day. And I usually say, this is optional. You don't have to come. But guess what? 80 to 90% of the attendees come to the prayer, to the early prayer time. The reason I'm mentioning this is that afterwards, throughout the day, the breakthroughs in the lives of the of those upcoming missionaries is amazing. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a huge difference if we believe in the promises of such a living God. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Since you are a great audience, I will teach you a little bit of Arabic now. When you say in English, Amen, O Lord. O Lord, Amen. In Arabic, we say it this way. Amin, Ya Rab. Would you repeat that? Amin, Ya Rab. One more time. Amin. I will not be surprised that some of you will come to the Middle East. So, my team in Cairo, I'm really honored to have such a blessed prayer warriors. Every day before the office work starts, we designated the very first hour to prayer. And when we began to talk about this idea, some said, okay, but what about the office work? And I was reminded of Oswald Chandler's word when he said, prayer is the greatest work. So we are not wasting time when we pray. We are investing in the best thing ever. My second word is witness. Witness. You see a pattern in the book of Acts. The disciples got filled with the Spirit, and then also filled, as they were filled with the word, they were also filled with boldness to witness. And you can see that pattern throughout the book of Acts. One-on-one evangelism. Unbelievable, the opportunity among Muslims during this day. And I think we shouldn't complain about the greatness of darkness, friends. But we should be concerned about the littleness of light. I think reaching out to people cannot be learned in an academic class, though. We can learn good biblical principles, but it continues to be theoretical. We learn by joining those who exercise it as soul winners. You don't learn swimming by studying about it. We learn by getting in the water. An inspiring model for us during our studies at CIU, a blessed soul winner, was and is Dr. Jones, who sought the lost in their own places of work. In their own places of work. Once I asked my Sudanese fellow workers, if you want to fish, do you fish in the barrel? In your backyards, there's no infrastructure there. And they said, no. If we want to fish, we go to the Nile. And I'm afraid for us as academic people, church leaders, that we stay in our comfort zones at the expense of the lost who are out there, out of our own barrels, if you will. Precious souls are not in our academic barrels or even church barrels or within our own comfort zones. Fish are in the sea of working places, coffee shops, golf courses, etc. The early church was not only in homes and in the temple, but also in the markets, in the streets of Jerusalem, and even in the pagan temples. Usually I hear this from my Muslim friends when they listen to the sharing, when I witness to some of them. They said, "Why are you afraid, Christians? Why do you hide that good stuff?" And one of them recently said, after he came to Christ and his eyes got open to the good news, he said, "You are criminals." Let me share this short story quickly. I was in a bus in Sudan in the north. 7:30 in the morning, and I got to sit, and I looked to my right next to the window, a lady in her 40s. You know, you can discern from her outlook that she's, you know, her background. So I had my Bible, my Arabic Bible, in my hands, so I put the Bible this way, and I noticed that she was trying to read as well. So actually, I moved it a little bit to the right so that she can. And then I turned the page, and she was still following. And then I closed the Bible, and then she stopped me and said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Please." This is why I was there. So she said, "What does it mean by the mind of the spirit and the mind of the flesh?" By the way, this is in the Bible. Romans 8. She was carefully reading. For an hour and a half, the Lord graced me to be able to explain the gospel as much as I could. At the end, before we left the bus, she said this: "Sir, when I was 12 years old, my colleague in the high school gave me the Injil, gave me, I thought this was probably a gospel portion. And I took it home and I began to read. And as I began to read, my father found out. He took the Bible or took the Injil from my hand and shredded it out. And he said, never to go along with those infidels anymore." But she added, "Since that time," she was probably early 40s. "Since that time, sir, I long to have the Bible in my hands." And you know what? My tears came down and I thought, really embarrassed, simply because I have few of them in my home. But more than that, people are there, ready. But if we are really passionate about them, they will come your way. Would you say amen? Amen. As I think of Paul quickly here, I think of a man of prayer who prayed twice. If you said, and I see many of dear young people here sitting here, if you said, "But I haven't done it before, and I don't feel that courage to share the gospel with someone who's I haven't met before," I tell you the secret. This is number one tip. Paul prayed for the door to be opened. Would you repeat that with me? For the door to be opened. And this is what he said. He prayed in Colossians 4. Pray for us. May the door be open to share the good news. But what about when the door is open? He added, okay, what to say when the door is open? What to say? So I was in a taxi. Actually, we have the perfect traffic in the world in Cairo, Egypt. Okay, this is not the truth. So I was in a taxi, just to illustrate quickly, and all of a sudden the taxi was about to hit another guy, another taxi. And they exchanged words, you know, what they were talking about, you know. So, and I was sitting there prayerfully, quietly sitting there. And then the taxi driver turned to me and said, "Sir, why aren't you bothered with what's happening outside? You are in peace and you are smiling still." And I said, "Do you want to know what's behind this peace?" Amen. He said, "Why not tell me?" So for 20 minutes here, the door was open. Amen. But what to say next? You have to be in the spirit of prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to give wisdom. Would you say, "Amin, Ya Rab"? Amen. Okay, you are candidate, good candidates. So to know him and make him known. Oh, what a slogan. What a slogan. You know, I'm coming to a close here soon. My favorite verse in the Old Testament, Daniel 11:32. Those who know their God. Would you repeat with me? Those who know their God, they will be strengthened. Yeah, let's go. They will be strengthened. But he doesn't stop there. He added, and they will achieve exploits. And I found out, I tried to understand, what does it mean by exploits? And I think exploits mean noble deeds. Noble deeds. And I can't think of noble deeds like the thing that really leave influence on this generation and the generations to come. And nothing like taking people up there with you to heaven. I cannot separate my experience at CIU separated from Uncle Robertson McWalken. The last time I visited him, I said, "I'm coming in July, hopefully I can see you again." And he said, "Mavdi, if you don't see me here, you will find me in a better address." And I remember Dr. Murray, when he preached here in this auditorium years back, when I was a student, he once said, "I will not be surprised that in a room with this large, that someone here, even in a Christian academic setting, but he did not come to the Lord yet. So I will not be also surprised if someone who sits here, that he hasn't come to the Lord yet." Brother, said sister, I urge you, as many are praying for you, I urge you to consider the cross again. My last word in a minute here. I don't want to cause any nervousness, particularly to the leading team. Persevere. Just the last 2 weeks in Cairo, the last 4 weeks actually in Cairo, my dear personal assistant was diagnosed with lymph nodes cancer that was reflected, has been reflected in her tongue. They have to do really cut half of her tongue. It was so harsh on, I mean, so difficult on us. It wasn't at all harsh from the hands of the loving of a loving father, but it was difficult and still difficult. Later, a trainee who finished his studies was diagnosed also 3 weeks ago with brain cancer, brain tumor. So you know, you are almost crushed with such situations. What to do but to fix your eyes firmly on the one that can sustain such people in their fiery trials. And I would say that only last week, our church planter team in Darfur, north of Sudan, got arrested and under tough torture, they were exposed. And the one that kept him arrested, they released 10 of them with new MBBs, new Muslim background believers, but the pastor that's still arrested is accused of apostasy, and he will soon. Why I'm saying this? I'm saying this that because we are in a battleground. We thank our sovereign God. If you are in the midst of a trial now, brother or sister, if even nobody knows, Jesus knows. One day I was very depressed, disappointed, and wanted to quit. Has that happened to you? During that difficult week, I received a strange message from the Alumni Center at CIU saying, our new president wants to talk to you. We agreed about the following date, 9 a.m. Columbia time, which was 3 p.m. Cairo time on Tuesday, the 24th of October, 2017, that day in particular, I was so very down, frustrated for different reasons, ministry pressures, etc. I said to myself, I have to be honest to share the truth. If the phone did not ring by 3:05, this is a good reason for me to quit and go to sleep. I was really down. 3:03, no calls yet. Okay, 2 more minutes, and I will go to bed and take a long siesta. You know what? It looks like when you are tired, burned out and depressed, 3:04, the telephone rang. And I heard the voice of the head of the alumni department, alumni center, introducing the president. Hi, MFD, said Dr. Smith. I'm delighted to let you know that you have been chosen to become the Alumnus of the Year 2018 out of 18,000 of CIU graduates, he said, over nearly the past 100 years. And I said, what? Did he dial the right number? Maybe, but not the right person. Did I hear it right? I said to myself. Okay, thank you, Dr. Smith. And I hung up the phone. My wife, who knows and carries the pressure with me, came to my room. And we prayed together with hearts full of thanksgiving, but not without tears. We were overwhelmed by this marvelous appreciation. Then we began to reflect on something far more important. Do you want to know what it is? It is the judgment seat of Christ. As believers, only believers, washed by the blood, we will stand to be rewarded. As I close, let me share a word of encouragement to everyone here who serves the Lord faithfully, but may be disappointed for one reason or another. There is someone who knows your labor of love, beloved. Our Lord said it 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3. I know. I know your tribulations. I know your work. I know your poverty. I know. Even if everybody else doesn't, my friends, he knows. And one day he will call you by name. The violinist, the player who mastered his violin, stood at the stage, finished his performance, everybody stood up, applauded, but he went behind the stage, behind the curtains, and he went there really upset. And his friend said, "Guy, come on, everybody stood up." He said, "But someone didn't." "Yeah, well, forget it. If the 1,000 stood up, that's greatly enough for you." He said, "No, but this is my music teacher. If everybody stood up for me and my teacher didn't, this doesn't mean anything for me." Friends, you will stand before the living risen Christ soon. Hallelujah. And he will say to you, particularly with those of gray hair like me, would say, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." Let us be mindful that soon we will see Jesus and we will be like him. Stephen finished well, and as he finished well, Dr. Luke said that Jesus, he saw Jesus standing, the one who sat at the right hand of the Father. Only for Stephen and for those who will finish well, he will stand with a great smile and welcome you and welcome me. Let us all finish well. To God be the glory for the things he has done and he will continue to do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we come to you with great gratefulness because of who you are and because of the work that your Son has done for us. And we trust that the wonderful servants of you, younger generation, older generations, we are all in your hands to continue to be pleased to use us in the days to come for your honor and glory, we pray.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.